In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, we heard in today's Gospel readings about how the Lord cast out the legion of demons for the man who was possessed, and how he sent out his disciples to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. Freely they had received from him, and freely they were to give. The work of the Lord is to restore man, to heal man, to bring him back to life, and to give him life more abundant, life eternal, in the heavenly kingdom. Healing is what takes place in the church. It's one of the great mysteries of why we come here. We come here to be healed in soul and in body. And we partake even as a foretaste of that resurrection in the next age, even now, through that healing. Through God's life once again taking up abode within us. Today we have the commemoration of all of the unmercenary healers and wonder workers. It's celebrated today because we're very close to November 1st, the feast of Saints Cosmas and Damian. Saint Cosmas and Damian were brothers who were physicians, who healed by prayer, by the discipline of science, and they did this without recompense. They healed everyone, even if they couldn't pay. And they gave the glory to God. Now, these brothers, Saints Cosmas and Damian, became actually examples for many who would follow in their footsteps. In fact, there were three sets of Saints Cosmas and Damian who were brothers, who were unmercenary healers and wonder workers. The greatest of them we celebrate on November 1st, and we have that synaxis, the gathering together of all the unmercenary healers as our commemoration. At the end of the service today, we'll ask that those in the healing ministries come forward for a blessing, to be renewed in that same grace that the Lord granted to his disciples when he sent them out to do this work of healing and restoration. In the prayer at the end, there'll be a list of saints who have performed this saving work, restorative work. One of the saints in that list is Saint Luke of Crimea, who's known as the Blessed Surgeon. Has anyone heard of Saint Luke of Crimea, the Blessed Surgeon? Very few of you. Good. Well, maybe not so good. But we'll remedy that. Saint Luke was born in 1877 in East Crimea, which is a peninsula on the northern coast of the Black Sea in Eastern Europe. St. Luke's father was a pious man, but he was poor, and he tried to raise his son in the faith as best he could. But St. Luke says that his Christian understanding really began when he graduated high school. On the day of graduation, he was given a book by the principal. It was the New Testament. Imagine that, your high school principal giving you the New Testament upon graduation. He read it numerous times, and he began to discern that he was called to serve God and his fellow man. Now, St. Luke was a gifted artist. He was excellent in drawing, and he graduated from the Kiev Academy of Fine Arts. But he decided that he was going to enroll in the great Prince Vladimir Medical School at the University of Kiev. And there began his medical studies, and he was an extraordinary student. Not just diligent in his work, but gifted. And he excelled. He then became a doctor. He married a nurse who he worked with. Her name was Anna. They had four children. And St. Luke, as these unmercenary physicians, healed through prayer and through the discipline of science. He was a man of great compassion. But tragedy befell him. His wife died in 1917. As we know, this was the time of the revolution in Russia. St. Luke never remarried, and his children were looked after by another nurse at the hospital so that he could continue his work, so he could follow God's providential path for him. He was an extremely skilled surgeon, perhaps the best of his time. He was a pioneering scientist, an accomplished professor, and an author. But first and foremost, he was a man of faith. Remember the time that his life was unfolding. It was a time where faith was being persecuted. time where the revolution brought militant atheism and communism to the land. St. Luke made it a practice that every time he would perform a surgery, he would have an icon of the Mother of God in the operating room. And before it, he would have a lit lampada. Every single time. If he were to refuse that, he would not perform the surgery. He thanked God for his training and the gift of being a physician. He said, "I ought to tell you that what God did to me is amazing and incomprehensible. My pursuing surgery completely satisfied the goal I always had to serve the poor and the suffering, to dispose of all my strength for the comfort of their pains, and to help them that are in need." He saw his work as a spiritual endeavor, an endeavor of love. St. Luke, being this man of brilliant mind, intellectual capacity, had spiritual discussions with the medical staff, with professors, with people who came to the hospital and the university. He dialogued with them at a time where faith and reason were being opposed. Religion and science seen as opposites, incompatible. He showed that no, that's not the case. And he showed it not just by his words, which were so convincing, but by his personhood, because he was a man of faith and he excelled in the sciences. One of these discussions, the local bishop came, his name is Innocent, he came and he saw him there and he heard him speak. And after the discussion, he came up to him and he said, "Luke," which wasn't his name at the time, he took Luke in monasticism, but he said, "Luke, you're going to become a priest." That next Sunday, he was ordained deacon, and the Sunday after that, he was ordained a priest. No seminary. Was it necessary for him? Because he was immersed in the church's teaching. St. Luke, now a doctor, a professor, and a priest, celebrated the services, but he said that he gave his most attention to preaching, to teaching the gospel, to enlightening the mind that in those days was becoming so darkened. When he taught at the university, he always wore his cassock and his cross. So they knew that he was a priest, a servant of God. And for 2 years, he participated in public debates with an apostate priest, someone who was a priest, who apostatized, left the faith, and was then preaching the gospel of militant atheism. Materialism. St. Luke debated with him and shone in those debates. Later, he would be consecrated bishop. And when he became a bishop, he always practiced his surgery in cassock. Not only did he have the icon with the lampada, but now he wore his cassock in the OR. He said, "They demanded that I remove my riasa. I will never do it. It, my riasa," that's the priestly garment, "will be with me to my very death. I help people as a physician, and I help them as a servant of the church." St. Luke, because he was such a shining example of the Christian faith, was slandered, arrested, given a false trial, exiled, imprisoned, constantly moved around. But everywhere he went, he labored for God's people. When he was once on trial before the public prosecutor, he said to the prosecutor, "I cut people to save them. You, Mr. Public Prosecutor, why do you cut off their heads?" He was so bold, facing his own possible martyrdom. And many, many were martyred. Not hundreds of thousands, but millions suffered under communism. Churches were destroyed, monasteries torn down. That government tried, if possible, to destroy the church, to uproot it entirely from society. And not just society, but from the heart of the people, to take it even out of their minds. They wouldn't even remember the church. That was the goal. St. Luke was an obstacle to this. And he suffered greatly. But because he excelled so much in the discipline of medicine, they couldn't do away with him. In 1934, he published an essay on surgery and suppurating wounds. It became a classic of medical science, considered the gold standard and a foundation for the entire medical specialty. It's studied to this day. He even won the Stalin Prize and international recognition for his work. He also wrote a work on spirit, soul, and body, an apology against atheist materialism and a defense of Christian anthropology. In 1946, he finally was moved to Crimea, his homeland. He became the archbishop there, and he set about reforming the clergy there. He said, "A priest's heart must be a fire that burns with the light of the gospel, and a priest's love must be for the cross, and it must be in word and in deed." About 1,250 sermons were recorded over his 38 years of priesthood and episcopal service. 750 of them were preserved in 12 volumes and published. But this blessed surgeon, who healed so many and cared for them, himself was human. And near the end of his life, he lost his eyesight. He was unable to perform surgery to do his work. He still served the divine services amazingly, even though he was blind. He knew them by heart. He served without a book. His last divine liturgy was served on Christmas Day. His last sermon was preached on Forgiveness Sunday. And as God's providence would have it, he reposed on June 11th, 1961. That day, June 11th, 1961, was a Sunday, and it was the second Sunday after Pentecost, which commemorates all saints who have shone forth in the land of Russia. He reposed on what would be one of his feast days, as one of the saints in the land of Russia. St. Luke, though, before his death, he wondered about what his funeral might be like. Because he was considered to be an enemy of the state, he wondered if he might even be permitted proper burial. He wondered if he might have that procession from the church to the cemetery, if they would even be able to sing Holy God as they escorted the body. The authorities tried to do everything they could to undermine this funeral. But the people came out of their homes. They flooded the streets. They threw flowers on the road. They climbed up on rooftops. They poured out for this funeral. And they sang Holy God, escorting the body for 3.5 hours. It was a scandal for the atheist government, to the glory of God. In 1996, St. Luke's remains were disinterred. 40,000 people were there. And there was an indescribable aroma of sanctity coming from his relics. His heart was found to be incorrupt, a sign of his love. We heard in the epistle reading today about all of those gifts that God pours out upon us. Apostles, prophets, preachers, miracle workers, healers. But the greatest gift is the gift of love. St. Luke had this gift of love for God and for his people. And he serves as a shining example, especially for those in the field of medicine, especially for our day and age. Why? Are we in communist Russia? No. But he lived at the turning point where what was formerly known as Holy Russia became communist Russia, atheist Russia. I wonder sometimes if we're at the turning point in America. The very foundations of Russia were Christian. The foundations of our land were Christian. Not Orthodox, but Christian. And those foundations are being pulled out from underneath us. Or if you'd rather, we're at the edge of a cliff. 1 foot still on solid ground, or Judeo-Christian foundation, the other over a chasm. And we're teetering. It could go either way. There's a move towards secular ethics, What is secular ethics? It's the understanding of right and wrong entirely divorced, in our situation, from Christian faith. Secular ethics is everybody gets a vote and we decide what's right and what's wrong. We can rewrite everything. And we're actually doing that right now. This is why politics is so heated today. Because politics isn't just about policy anymore. Politics is about morality. The difference between good and evil, right and wrong. This is why people fight so much for their political camps. We are becoming a country that is ruled not by God, but by the mob rule. And I don't say that in our current political debate like you see it on TV. I'm talking about mob rule meaning everyone. We decide what's right and what's wrong in democracy. We vote on what our laws are going to be, who our judges are going to be, how they're going to interpret those laws. We vote on what our medical practices are going to be, what's allowed, what's not allowed. We vote and say it's okay for babies to be aborted in the womb. There will come a time where we vote where it's okay to have assisted suicide. Everything is becoming up for grabs. There is no universal right and wrong. It's simply what we want it to be. Secular ethics. And it's coming. It's coming to the medicinal fields. Those people are on the front lines. You people who are involved in this are on the front lines. Today we pray for you. We ask God's blessing upon you. And I'll give you a word of encouragement. If you can, make yourself like St. Luke. Irreplaceable, because you excel so much in what you do. That's a high bar. Not many of us can do that. But perhaps more importantly, make yourself like St. Luke in your faith. Let no one take that from you, because that is how you'll be pleasing to God, and that is how you will serve your neighbor. That is how you will do well and do good for people, your faith. And for those who are not in the medical disciplines, there's work for us to do too. Because right and wrong is determined at the ballot box, we need to vote. And we need to vote with a Christian conscience. I'm not telling you what party to vote for, what candidate to vote for. But I am telling you, as Christians, we have one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. On him, everything is built, and without him, everything is destroyed. Be people of faith, be people of science, be people of God, be people of service to one another, and do it in Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.